Luke chapter 10. You know, we pray all the time the wisdom prayers from Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, that we're supposed to ask God for these spiritual things that we don't even know we need until you read it in the Bible. And one of those is that we would have revelation in the knowledge of Him. Revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, we've taught on this recently, but I want to reinforce the fact that you need revelation in your heart. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, but that's not just head knowledge, that's revelation knowledge. Knowledge that gets so deep into your heart, it changes who you are, it changes what you do, changes how you act, changes what you receive from God. You need revelation in your heart of who you are in Christ. And if you never get the training of who you really are in Christ, you'll be the same old dud as you used to be. Except you'll go to church sometimes. You need to learn who you are in Christ so that it can change the way you are. But you can't do it without revelation. It has to be shined in your heart. That's what revelation knowledge is. It's the lamp came on. The spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah, the candle of the Lord. It needs to be lit up in your heart who you are in Christ. It needs to be lit up in your heart. All the things you know are right, all the things of God that are trying to come to you from heaven, you need revelation of them before they come. You need revelation of divine healing, prosperity, revelation of winning souls. Like we stand up here and encourage you to share your faith with others. We take testimony of people sharing their faith. But I'll tell you this, you won't even share your faith if you don't have revelation of it. What do you mean? I mean, you need revelation from God's word that Jesus wants you to. That's all it takes. Oh, I don't know if I have all that boldness that you have. You don't need boldness. Oh. You don't need boldness to share your faith. You need revelation that Jesus wants you to. You need revelation that you can because the Spirit has empowered you. You need revelation that you're a fisher of men.
Amen.
Once you know that, then you take a step because you know it, and then boom, it works, and now you're bolder.
All right.
I don't need to pray for all of you to have boldness. Boldness is doing the right thing in the face of enemies.
Amen. All right. Yeah.
You thought you were escaping winning souls because you didn't feel real bold like some people look. No, the reason some people are bold now is because they had revelation of it and started doing it, found out it wasn't so hard after all, so now they're called bold. But that's not for you to hide behind. You just need the same revelation that they had. Sure, it's going over real big this morning. You notice how she had to spend extra time on Malachi chapter 3 because it sounded real quiet at first. People are like, is the offering over yet? Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went, he entered a certain village, a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, this is Luke 10:39, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Verse 42, one thing is needed. One thing is needed. You have to sit at the feet of Jesus. One thing is needed. Yes, life is busy. Yes, there's lots to do. Yes, serving people requires effort, time, and all that. But one thing is needed. Mary chose it. What'd she choose? To sit and learn. Amen. So we appreciate you coming to church as many times as the doors are open so you can learn. That's one main reason we come. So we can learn, so we can remind ourselves, so we can relearn, so we can remind ourselves, so we can learn again and learn more and work out our salvation with all this new knowledge we get. It's a big part of it because you need revelation knowledge if you're going to exemplify Christ, if your faith is going to work. So how many Marthas do we have in here? Probably 50% of you are Marthas. 50% of you are Marys. Martha, just sit down for a moment. We love Martha. We love all you Marthas. Martha brings the donuts on donut day. We love the Marthas. Just please, Martha, sit down first. Please, Martha, can you make sure that you're staying at the feet of Jesus so you have enough revelation knowledge so that you can actually live by faith? Because without the revelation knowledge, you can't live by faith. You can't be pushed into this stuff. You can't force yourself. People think, well, I just need more commitment. If I could just recommit, if I need to rededicate and recommit and rededicate and recommit. And there's a part that has to play in it. There's a time to rededicate or recommit, but you don't need more commitment and more dedication. You really just need more revelation. So this is not about willpower and soul power, trying to make myself do the right thing. You just need revelation of how wonderful it is. You really just need revelation of God.
Amen.
Last week we talked about holiness. But we tried to do it from a place of faith and righteousness by faith. Because you can't get holy by making yourself be holy. We get holy by revelation of holiness. You need to learn that you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to learn that the holiness of God is already present. You need to know that He looks at you as holy. He's already called you a saint, which means holy. That same word saint is the word for Holy Spirit. You're a saint, not a sinner. He sees you that way because He sees you in Christ. You need revelation of that so when you look in the mirror, you don't see a dirt ball. You need revelation of that so when you read Romans 3, which talks about sinners before Christ and then saints after Christ, where it says, our righteousness is as filthy rags, you don't walk away saying, yeah, I'm a filthy rag. No, you got to read the rest of the chapter. And it says, but now the righteousness which is of faith has appeared. And so you need to see yourself righteous. You need revelation of that. You follow me? So that you can be holy, so that you can live holy. So you don't try to get holy. You learn how holy you are. You learn what holiness is. You learn that God has done the work in you. You just need to live it. Live it out. Turn to the book of Hebrews. Let me quote a couple scriptures here. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. The wonderful spiritual stuff is revealed to your spirit. So in church, you hear a message, you're inspired by stories, but what you're looking for is to make sure that you're open and pliable and teachable enough to where it gets into your heart. The revelation hits your heart and changes your perspective. You walk out knowing God, but that's what revelation is. It's revelation of Him, revelation of His ways, revelation of contact with God. Jesus said this. He said, I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. That's a strange way to look at this thing. You know, shouldn't this gospel be for the most professional people? Like, isn't this like so perfect and wonderful and complex that it takes, you know, smart, intelligent people to understand it and use it? No, He hid it from the wise and prudent of the world, and He revealed it to the babes. Because it's not complex. It does require sitting at His feet and getting some revelation. It does require learning. So you do have to have a brain. Norval Hayes used to say that, you know, Christians, he said, they'd be better off if you just chop their head off. Because most of your problems are up here. Just trying to elevate the spirit of man over the soul of man. Yes, your spirit needs to dominate your soul. Your heart and your soul, your spirit down in here needs to dominate your mind, will, and emotions. That's very true. But you need the brain to filter it through. Okay, are you in Hebrews already? Hallelujah. All right, so when I was, here's just a quick example. You've heard my stories before, but when I was 12 years old, I had gotten sick. Mom had taught me the scripture, by his stripes I am healed. And said, if you ever get sick, just quote that scripture. And she told me enough about it, so I knew what that was. And I got an ear infection one night, and so I finally realized it's midnight, and I didn't know what to do except cry or tell mom and dad or go to the hospital. I didn't know. So I just all of a sudden remembered the scripture, and I began quoting the scripture, by stripes I'm healed, by stripes I'm healed, by stripes I'm healed, by stripes I'm healed. I did this for 15, 20 minutes, and I kept saying it so much, it was like, what in the world am I doing? And then I began to think, okay, so by his stripes, the stripes on the cross, the whip, the beating, nailed to the cross, by his stripes I'm healed, and then bam, I'll spare you the pop that I heard. Bam, in my head, the ear infection was gone. And all of a sudden, just laying right there, all of a sudden, I realized, I know the secret. I know the secret to being healed. Christians don't ever have to be sick again, at least me. I just tapped into the secret. I just tapped into the, I found God, I met with God, I connected with God's power. I know how to do it now. You know, just a dumb kid, just a babe who found the secret. That's revelation. So for me, as a kid, that was it. I knew Christians don't have to be sick. If God would heal me from a simple ear infection the first time I tried, well, that settles it. Revelation. I carried that revelation. I carried it very deeply for a couple years, and then it kind of waned because I didn't think about it and walked away from God. But then when I came back to the Lord at age 26, got sick again, guess what? I was back with God, man. I'm ready for this stuff. I'm excited that Christians don't have to be sick, and I'm going to tell the whole world. How can I be so sure? Because I had revelation as a 12-year-old. Then I learned the scripture to back it all up. And then as I read the scripture, I realized what happened in that bed when I was 12 is I began to think about, I began to meditate on by his stripes I'm healed. Not just quote it, but think on it, see it. And then boom, the light came on and I was healed. Age 26, I'm ready. I'm thinking Christians don't ever have to be sick again, but I got sick. My first thought was, I didn't think Christians were supposed to be sick. And my second thought was, wait a second, this is it. This is my big fight. I'm going to fight this sickness and prove God's word right, or I can't ever tell anybody else. And so I quoted scripture, just a couple, and I stomped on the devil's head. I walked around my room stomping on the devil's head, because I know that there's something about that in the Bible. That we can trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt us. And so I trampled around my room for 3.5 hours. When I was a kid, it only took me 15, 20 minutes. As an adult, it took me 3.5 hours. Why? Because adults got all this goofy stuff in their brains. Kids receive it quicker and easier. Adults have lots of complexities, lots of history, lots of all sorts of stuff. Wrong beliefs or disappointments or don't know how to pray all these years and now you build a bad habit for you. Who knows what it is? Bottom line is you go after God until you get there. And so I was healed that night. That's the whole story, but I'm not going to go into it. But it took me 3.5 hours this time to get the same revelation, because at the end of it, the light came on in my heart and I went, ha, ha, ha. It is true. Glory. Glory. I needed a revelation, and I got it. It is true. The devil is under my feet.
Hallelujah.
Changed me again forever. Went and told friends of mine. They laughed at me, looked at me, rolled their eyes. Like I'm thinking, you can't see how special that is. I'm going to go find me some real friends. I did. There was a couple of things like that that helped me leave my group of believing unbelievers, unbelieving believers. If you can't be excited about somebody contacting the Spirit of God, I'm going to go find me some real friends that love the Holy Ghost like me. These things happen by revelation, not just because you quoted. Now we need to quote, we need to say stuff, but it's not just the saying, it's the heart and the saying. Sometimes you say it so it gets in your heart. Other times you say it from your heart. Really, you want to say it from your heart every time, but sometimes it takes a little while to get it into your heart enough to where it has any power coming out. So don't give up on your saying and your quoting. Start believing it. You're in need not of just more commitment, not of just an outward breakthrough. You're in need of revelation. As soon as you get the revelation, it sparks your faith, triggers your faith, lights the cannonball. Bam, that's when miracles happen. They happen by revelation. So you need to spend some time at the feet of Jesus. Talk to the Lord about these things. You got big issues, pick the area that you might need help in. Some of you need to spend some time thinking about divine protection. Yep. Will God protect you? Has that revelation hit your heart? Yep. If you're in a dangerous situation somewhere, what happens on the inside of you? That's a good way to test. I've been in some crazy places with crazy people around. And I'm thinking in my heart, I'm all right. I'm not afraid. I can talk to anybody, do anything I want in here. Why? Because I got a revelation. Not because I just remember what somebody else said and did. What somebody else said and did in their testimony can inspire you. And the reality is God will do it for you too, as long as you have the same revelation they had.
Amen.
But it's supposed to move you toward, let me go sit at the feet of Jesus so I can learn the same thing. Let me go get the same faith they had so that I can have the miracles they had. Doesn't take long. We're not talking about got to go to seminary to get faith in you. No way. No way. I was 12 years old. I had faith for one thing. That's all we're talking about, getting faith for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. You got to spend some time. Let it get into your heart. Let it change your life. Amen. We're not talking about Bible school student, seminary. We're not talking about a degree. We're not talking about learning everything before you have faith. We're talking about learning each thing so you can have faith. Like, will God help you at school? Will God help you in your family? You need faith to walk in love. You need revelation knowledge if you're going to walk in love. What do you mean revelation? You need to learn the love of God is different than natural love. You need to learn what agape means. You need to meditate on what love actually does and looks like according to the Bible. You need a revelation of God's love, the love walk. I can't just stand up here and hear and say, you need to stop being so rude. Oh yeah, I got to stop being so rude. We're not talking about you just trying not to be rude. We're not talking about you trying not to be frustrated in Houston traffic. We're talking about you getting revelation so that you can be happy even if there is traffic. Well, I've been believing God for no traffic. Why don't you believe God for something valuable like you getting a right heart about other people on the road?
Glory.
You know, they're always the wrong ones. That's not fair. You old selfish thing. You need, but to do it right, you need revelation knowledge. We're not talking about you biting your tongue, holding your fist. You need revelation if you're going to walk in love. Hallelujah. All right, so we're in Hebrews 3. Let me show you how this works. Now, I'm going to read this passage and chapter 3 and 4, some of it. And there's a word in there. One is faith, belief, unbelief, disobedience, obedience. And some of these words are very interchangeable. Where the scripture has translated obedience or disobedience, it's really faith or unbelief. And so you can see this if you go study the actual Greek words. But comparing the King James Version to the New King James, you'll see difference. But really, either word could be used because it reflects the same thing. So let me just read this. Keep that in mind. I'll show you what I mean. Verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation. I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Notice this link to revelation. It's the heart, not knowing his ways. So I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So notice that this whole thing centers around their heart that did not believe. An evil heart of unbelief. So if you have unbelief in you, it's evil. I mean, you know, some people think drinking, smoking, cussing is evil. Unbelief is evil. An evil heart of unbelief. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Another little secret in there, sin will harden you. Verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it said, again, it's talking about your confidence. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Remember, because they did not believe him to go into the promised land, he said, that's it, you're going to all have to die. None of you get to go in the promised land because you did not believe. Same thing today. Christians, good, well-meaning Christians, don't enter their promised land, their answers to prayer, because of unbelief. Very simple. Verse 18, now, and to whom did he swear they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? See that word obey? King James says believe. But I just want you to see that they're interchangeable. It's a Greek word, apatheia. Apatheia, or apatheia, or however the Greeks say it, I don't care. But to those who believe not, or did not believe, apatheia is the word. And you'll see it throughout Scripture used different ways. Either it's used for obey or obedience, or it's used for belief or unbelief. So we see verse 19, they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now that word apatheia is where we get the word apathy from. Pretty simple. And what it means is just not caring. Not putting any emphasis, careless, to disbelieve, unfaithfulness, lack of interest, lack of feeling, lack of emotion. And so that's the risk, and that's really the warning. When you hear the word of God, you're not supposed to just be careless. You don't enter in your promised land because you didn't care enough. You didn't put any attention to it. You didn't believe it. Well, yeah, I believe it. That sounds kind of apathetic, doesn't it? Well, have you read your Bible? No, I haven't read my Bible. I'm very busy. Me and Martha, we're playing around. You're just being apathetic to the holy words of life. And therefore, you're going to lack revelation. Therefore, you're going to lack answered prayer. You're going to lack closeness to God. You following this? So notice that you can't live an obedient life if you don't have faith. Amen. You have to have revelation to have faith. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's an interesting scripture, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's always like, why did you have to say it that way? Shouldn't it just be faith comes by hearing the word of God? But it didn't. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's like a little gap in there that you're supposed to recognize there's something extra. So faith doesn't come just because you sat there. Faith comes by hearing, but hearing comes by the word of God, or the rhema of God, the spoken word. To hear it in your heart, it's just a little extra. So sure, faith comes by hearing the word of God, but there's something extra there that kind of alludes to revelation. He said, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. So you need to have ears that let it get all the way down so that your heart can hear it. Hearing comes by the rhema of the word of God. You get a revelation. The eyes of your heart needs to turn on. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. When my mom told me that, Chaz, if you get sick, just quote this scripture, by his stripes I'm healed, and do that over and over again because so-and-so did it, it'll work for you too because that's Jesus on the cross, his stripes, you're healed. Just do that. Okay, I believed it enough to do it. Years ago, I was teaching on this, and their son, Ethan, he heard this. He started doing it. He started telling mom and dad all the time. I can't remember all the stories, but testimony after testimony kept coming in of how he wasn't feeling good. He just said, don't worry about me. I'm going to go upstairs and quote my scriptures. He'd go up and get healed. And then when anybody in the family get healed, he'd remind them. And all you got to do is just say that. All you got to do is just go get with God and say the scripture. One time I was teaching this in Jamaica. And after the service, a teenager came over to him. He said, you know, while you were teaching that, my ear was hurting me. And so I just quoted that scripture a couple times. It disappeared. See, that's mixed with faith. You heard it, but did you mix faith with it? Did you have corresponding action to it? Did it do anything to motivate you? Did it do anything to cause action? You hear something about tithing and giving offerings. Did you mix faith with it? Everybody loves stuff that comes down from heaven. Very few people love stuff that requires from you. We all want to just pray. Oh, I've been praying for God. What might you need to add some faith to? What action, what step, what might you need to do to get this thing rolling here? Everybody's waiting on God. Well, I'm just believing God. I just know one day God's going to, he ain't. I just know one day God's going to. It don't work that way. Those people wait forever. Nothing ever happens. That's not how the Bible talks about it. One day I know God's going to. That's not how the Bible describes it at all. Amen. You keep saying that, you just die in the wilderness. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were actually finished from the foundation of the world. Your answer has already been planned. Amen. This is what's so strange, is that God, knowing the future, has already planned your inheritance, planned your prayer answer. But sometimes you don't get it. Sometimes we don't get it because we did not believe properly. You know, this takes a little work on your part. You have to beware of an evil heart of unbelief. There's warning and command and instruction to us to do this right. It's not automatic. Some denominations don't understand the word faith. They think faith is the general faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, we have that for salvation, but faith is a lot more detailed and a lot bigger than just faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. It's faith how to live. How to receive. How to get prayers answered. Those who don't understand faith properly toss it all into God's bucket. Well, you know, if God wants, then if it's his will, then, you know, these good things will happen. If it's not, then they won't. And so I just throw it up there. I just say everything I can. Shotgun prayer. Boy, I sure hope something comes down. They don't understand faith. Faith requires instruction. Verse 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. See how it changes it? It's first talking about unbelief, now it's talking about disobedience because they're similar words, same word used different ways. You can look at it as disobedience, but it's not just disobedience. It's actually faith that caused or unbelief that caused your disobedience. Listen, if you're living a disobedient life right now, we know that deep down you want to change. Your spirit, man, doesn't want you to live a disobedient life.
Amen.
But you need revelation from God's word of who he is. And that's why I use the description sometimes, if God were sitting right next to you and you looked over and saw Jesus himself, you wouldn't sin. If you could see him next to you, you wouldn't sin, at least for while he's there. If he spent the week with you, I guarantee you would not sin all week. Why? Because you have revelation of his holiness, revelation of his goodness, revelation of his love, the joy, the glory. You can't get your eyes off of him. You wouldn't sin. And I say you wouldn't doubt either. You could run at a wall. You could do anything. You could work miracles. Your faith would be 100%. You have full revelation of him. So if you're living a disobedient life, we know he's not there physically. It's that you don't have revelation of him. The more revelation we have of Jesus, that we have of his goodness, his love, his holiness, his purity, his power, his awesomeness, all of the wonderful things we sing about, the more revelation you have of that, the less stuff you do wrong. And the more faith you have. So you need revelation. You need to pretend like these scriptures are true. Yeah, I said it. Pretend like the scripture is true. What does that mean? That's prove me now herewith. That's where God says, prove me. Trust me. Do it. Practice it. Pretend it. And I just mean put it into action enough until it takes root in you. Say it in the household. Say it in the household. You're going to have trouble with your spouse? Oh, you got something? You got trouble with your spouse? Start saying something good in the household. Go ahead and practice.
So if Jesus was physically next to you and you wouldn't doubt and you wouldn't sin, spiritually, that's why you have to get in the place of his presence when you pray. You have to get in the place of his presence. You have to sit at his feet beyond your natural, being so aware of your natural surroundings and your natural thoughts. You have to get in the spirit. This is why we learn to pray in the spirit. This is why we learn to pray through, to press in. You must get in the spirit. Amen. Because if you will get in the spirit, yes, revelation knowledge can come. Yes. If you will get in the spirit, you can get fully persuaded, fully, yes, convinced. All your doubts can go away in the presence of the Lord. And it's, amen, in that moment then that you can come out of prayer having received what you prayed, because you got outside of your natural circumstances and all your doubts went away. We must get in the spirit. It's not just good enough to pray 15 minutes a day where we're tossing things. And yes, that can work in the car. It can work. But we've got to spend time getting in the presence. Your prayers, much of the time, is you getting in the spirit. It may take you 30 minutes to get in the spirit. But if you can get in the spirit for 5 minutes, come on, if you can get in there just five minutes with Jesus actually next to you, in the spirit can change everything. It can change everything. It can change any impossible situation. It can cause any breakthrough that you need. Anything can be changed by you being 5 minutes in the presence of the living God. We have access to that. That's what we're called to, is to be in the presence of God. Do you understand that? That this is how your prayer life has to change. It's not just about, it wasn't about just Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus for a few minutes. It's about getting, sometimes we have to get into the depths. If you realize you're dealing with something, if you realize something has dogged you year after year, week after week, month after month, you're going to have to get in the presence of the Lord so that you can drive the fears and the doubts and the worries and the concerns. Be right next to Jesus, who will fill you with power, who will fill you with faith, who will confidentially set you on your feet, and you can lift your head up knowing that things have already changed. Glory. This is the advantage of the spirit-filled life, spirit-filled believers, living a life with the Spirit. We're not doing this casually. We're not doing it running, sliding in on our knees. Hey, Jesus, let me say something for 5 minutes. Thank you, Jesus, and off running again. It's come and bow at the feet of Jesus, bow your head, and pray through to get in the Spirit, where all of your sins and your your propensity to sin will go away, and all of your doubts will go away. This is it. This is the life of faith. It's in the Spirit.
Yeah, try quoting a scripture in the Spirit.
Yes.
Get in the Spirit, quote the scripture. Amen. Sit long enough to where you know that you're in there. So you're not feeling like you're shouting at the top to reach a cloud that looks like Mary or something. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Where there's no revelation of God's word, there's more disobedience. When you don't have revelation of God's word, you're a little crazier. So you need the revelation. You need to stay close to it. Amen. Another translation says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. We need revelation. It's the joy and the glory of God's word bringing life to us. See, it does something in our mind when we hear the word of God, but it does something even deeper when we see it in our heart. So we need time. You need time. You can catch some things here in church, but you need some time extra where you get revelation. It'll help your faith life. It's the only way to have a faith life. Isn't that exciting?
Yes, it is.
Listen, some of you got enough revelation right now to recognize. Right now. You just received enough revelation the past hour to recognize that you're in faith already.
Yes.
And you can have your answer already.
Yes.
You just have to plant yourself. Let the revelation knowledge clear the air. Well, I don't know. Stop it. He already said, just stand on one scripture right now. We're going to have some time of prayer in a moment, worship in a moment, and you have a chance to receive a miracle.
That's right.
So do it.
Yes.
Just one scripture. Come on, if a 12-year-old can do it, you can do it.
Amen.
It's so easy that a 12-year-old can do it.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.